So before beginning, we're going to chant the prayers the Lord is singing, obviously. And before chanting the prayers that most of us are familiar with, I'd like to chant other prayers that are contained within the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhima eighth chapter. And so we'll just do this quickly. We'll do the standard prayers. Namaste, Narasimhaya. So, Shri Narasimha, Jai Narasimha, Jai Jai Narasimha, Maladesha Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Vringha. I'll give the translation. All glories to Narasimhadeva. All glories to Narasimhadeva, who is the Lord of Palad Maharaj, and like a honeybee, is always engaged in beholding the lotus-like face of the goddess of fortune. Here's another one. Ugra Ranugra Ivayam Swavakanam Rikeshari Keshari Rasvapotanam Anyesha Mugravikramaha. Although very ferocious, the lioness is very kind to her cubs. Similarly, although very ferocious to non-devotees like Haranyakashipu, Lord Narasimhadeva is very, very soft and kind to devotees like Balaji Maharaj. And actually there's other discussions or other descriptions. One is by Sridhar Swami, who describes Lord Narasimhadeva in this way. Let's see. Palada Riday Vidyaladam Bhakya Vidya Vidavinam Sharad Hindu Ruchim Bande Parindra Vatanam Hadim. Let me offer my obeisances unto Lord Narasimhadeva, who is always enlightening Palad Maharaj within his heart, and who always kills the nescience that attacks the devotees. His mercy is distributed like moonshine, and his face is like that of a lion. Let me offer my obeisances to him again and again. And there's another verse by Sridhar Swami. Vagisha yashavarane lakshmir yasya chavakshasi Yasya steriya samvit amnisingha mahambhaje. Lord Narasimhadeva is always assisted by Sarasati, the goddess of learning, and he is always embracing the goddess of fortune to his chest. The Lord is always complete in knowledge within himself. Let us offer obeisances unto Narasimhadeva. Namaste Narasimhaya.
Namaste Narasimhaya.
O la 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 la
la la
la la la la Purvachada Shiracham Kanakai Tuna Singha Paratona Singha Yato yato yami chato na singa.
Yato yato yami chato
na singa. Why hear na singo? Vidai na singo. Singam dem charanam braj boy. Aba Nakara Kamalabare Nakamo Mavitasingabo Dali Dali Ranyutasipu Dhanam Prenalu Savatrita Naranuri Rupa Narada Dishanore Jaya Nagare Saure Jaya Jaldi Saure
Goswami Srila Prabhupada Jaya. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Jaya. Anandakoti Vaishnav Vrindika Jaya. Namacharya Srila Vivas Thakur Jaya. Ren Seiko Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha, Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrindika Jaya. Sri Sri Radhakrishna, Govinda Vasudeva Kunda, Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan Kijaya. Vrindavanam Kijaya. Maturam Kijaya. Jagannatha Swami Kijaya. Yamuna Bai Kijaya. Sri Radha Tulsi Devi Gajai, Sabaveda Bhakta Vrindi Gajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nrisimha Bhagavan Ki Jai. Okay, so Om Aganath Sivananda Shakanam Shalakam Shalakaya Chapsurun Vijitam Yenatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So several different points we're going to touch upon. First of all, what is the reason we chant the prayers to the Lord for sitting there? I mean, of course, it's obvious that we're chanting for protection, but for protection of several different factors. One factor is obviously protection of ourselves, protection of other people that we know, protection of the world. Like nowadays, of course, many devotees are chanting the prayers to Lord Shrigadeva because of the present crises. Actually, the whole material world is always in a crisis situation because people are always dying. And the whole material world is like a conflagration. I mean, it's always on fire, like we chant every day. The spiritual master, by his mercy, is pouring down on the blazing fire of material existence. He's pouring down the rain of his mercy to extinguish it. So we pray for the world, we pray for different people, we pray for ourselves, and Prabhupada also mentioned that we should pray for the protection of the Krishna consciousness movement. That's another thing we can be thinking of. And if we relate, remember the pastimes of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where he was given a Nrisimha mantra to chant. And the reason he was given the Nrisimha mantra to chant is because the Lord Nrisimhadev also annihilates the demons that are within our hearts. Because sometimes I've heard it expressed, I never heard Prabhupada say it, but devotees would often say that in Kali Yuga, you know, the demon and the devotee are in the same body. Mm-hmm. I've often heard devotees say that. I haven't read that direct quote from Prabhupada, but, you know, it's pretty sure that that's the case, because we all have all these different inclinations to be envious, kam, krodha, mada, matsarya, barabaya, which are the and arthas, the things we want to get rid of, you know, lust, anger, greed, very demoniac tendencies. You know, we don't have to look for demons outside. I mean, sometimes devotees get into this thing that, you know, there's all these demons planning out how to do all these things. And they even say that political leaders look like lizards and they have lizard tongues. You know, crazy stuff. But actually, the demon is within. And those are the demons that we have to take care of. And when we chant the prayers to the Lord Nrisimhadev, we should be thinking about those demons. Please, my dear Lord Nrisimhadev, enter my heart and get rid of all these anarchists, these demoniac thoughts, this envy I have of other people, this anger I have, this lust I have, this greed I have, and the fear I have of the material energy, and the fear I have of life in general, or the financial fear I have. You know, right now, of course, with this virus, a lot of people are experiencing financial fear. So we ask Lord Nrisimhadev to do that. And of course, Lord Nrisimhadev is Krishna himself. Advaita Chita Nadiya 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 Nadiya. There's no difference between various Vishnu Tattva expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Lord Nrisimhadev is the fourth incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the list of incarnations. And the story goes as follows. I'm going to try to relate some of the points that come from the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, the story starts with Parikshit Maharaj inquiring from Shukadeva Goswami, that is the Lord actually equal to everyone? Of course, we find this statement in the Bhagavad Gita, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu Name Kresho Stigampiya. Krishna says, I have no special friends, I have no special enemies, I'm equal to everyone. Of course, he also says, "Whoever will render service to me, he is a friend, he is a me," etc. So it's a reciprocal thing. And also in the fourth chapter, you know, Yayatel Mam Prabhajante Tam Sakaiva Vajamiham Mamavart Manu Bhartante Manusha Partha Sarvasha, that everyone is reciprocating with me, basically. Or as Prabhupada translates, they closely reward them accordingly. So Prishad Maharaj has this particular question, and he understands, of course, he's not referring to the Judaic Christian literature where Krishna's, where God is referred to as a jealous God, which is quite an interesting statement. And the explanation given is that everything Krishna does, God does, is for the best. So in explaining this to Yudhisthira Maharaj, and which is the inside the story of Parikshit Maharaj having explained it by Shukadeva Goswami. Then you have Shukadeva referring to Yudhisthira asking Narada why Shishupal and Dantavakra attained liberation. In other words, they merged into the existence of the Lord. So Shukadeva Goswami is using this particular conversation to explain the question, or to answer the question that Richard Morris has posed. So he starts talking about two types of criticism that one can make in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One type of criticism is actually favorable. That's of the gopis. When they're criticizing, he gives the example of the gopis, and Purport explains that. Another type is unfavorable. Unfavorable is when you actually hate God or criticizing God, not out of love and devotion. And so try to understand this whole distinction. And then he describes that amongst the unfavorable types, there's two categories. One is arising from just absorption in the Lord, and the other one is not arising from absorption. And I'll explain that. In other words, one is criticizing the Lord and he's absorbed in the Lord. But in another case, one is criticizing the Lord and they're not absorbed in the Lord. They just, like the atheists. The atheists are generally not absorbed in God. Like Dawkins is not absorbed in God. Whereas someone like Shishupal, he's absorbed in God, because he thinks specifically of the form of God, right? It's Krishna. So you have these two different types of unfavorable relationships with God. So in the Bhagavatam, it gives the example of Shishupal, of course, being absorbed in God in an unfavorable way. And as far as not arising from absorption, the example given in the Bhagavatam is Vena. You know, Vena was against God, declaring himself to be God, but he was not absorbed in God. You understand the difference? Because he had no conception of God. Where Shishupal had the conception, he was meditating actually on Krishna. And if one is absorbed in God in an unfavorable way, he gets sayuja liberation and all of his bad karma gets eradicated. So Prabhupada sometimes would say, if you have to hate someone, hate Krishna. But you have to understand, to hate Krishna properly, you have to know Krishna. You can't be like Dawkins, who did not hate Krishna properly. He wasn't absorbed in Krishna. Very interesting. Okay. So this is is a very interesting description. So anyway, this is the preface to this whole story. So then Parikshit Maharaj begins to tell the story of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. And then you have Kashyapa and Diti. And so there's many different lessons we can learn from this interaction with Kashyapa and Diti. Of course, the first lesson to be learned is that the conception or the consciousness of the parents at the time of conception determines not only the consciousness, but also the time, which is actually quite interesting. Now, this is like an astrological calculation. There's different times that are favorable for different things. For example, the twilight hours, specifically the evening or when the sun is just first coming up. Of course, in the morning, that's actually the Brahma Muhurta time. But in the evening, it's actually the time of Lord Shiva. So those of you who are parents or intending to be parents should be aware of these different things. So anyway, so what happened with Kashyap and Diti is that Diti, of course, is the mother of the Daityas, and she was experiencing extreme lust, and she sort of lured Kashyap, her husband, into the whole thing. And as a result, they had two children, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. It's interesting, the children were named by the parents according to the astrological calculation. What is your child going to be like? Well, is it going to be like Hiranyakashipu, cold and soft beds, Hiranyaksha, which means like gold eye. You know, someone's really interested in gold. Aksha means eyes. So, anyway, so as a result, they had these two demons, and then also there's the story of the four Kumaras, Persing, Ajaya, and Vijaya, the guardians of the seventh gate to Vaikuntha. And they cursed them, and then Lord Vishnu sort of mitigated the curse and said you could take three births as demons or seven births as devotees, and they chose the three births as demons. And that was Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, and Kumbhakarna, and Dantavakra, and Shishupal. And actually, some of the acharyas described that they took the fourth birth before they went back to home, back to Godhead, as Jagai and Madai. So, this is the background of the story. So, when they were born, it's described that there was darkness in the universe, and just to make a long story short, the Lord, after these children were born, the Lord had a fight with Hiranyaksha first, who was the younger brother of Hiranyakashipu, and killed Hiranyaksha as the Lord was manifesting his born incarnation. Something we should understand is the Lord Krishna, Vishnu, arranged for these devotees to come down to the earth planet so that he could actually enjoy the fighting rasas. As we know, there's indirect rasas and direct rasas. And of course, direct rasas that the Jaya and Vijaya had was servitude, because they're always serving the Lord as the doorkeepers or guards to the Vaikuntha planets. And so indirectly, Krishna wanted to experience anger, chivalry, ghastliness, and actually a little bit of humor there too, in his interactions with these two living entities. So that's the real reason for the appearance of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, and the real reason for the curse that his devotees had to undergo is that the Lord wanted to enjoy rasa. And at the same time, Jaya and Vijaya were not resentful of this. They actually, as servants of the Lord, even when they went back to the spiritual world, they were very happy to have rendered service to the Lord according to the Lord's desire. Just like it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about the position of Srimati Radharani, that she says, I'm just paraphrasing this, if my misery gives you happiness, then my misery is my happiness. In other words, the devotee is willing, Manma Janmani Janmani Shrey, Bhavata Bhakti Ahoy Tukichwaye, that to give Krishna happiness, or the standard story that we usually tell, that Prabhupada told about Krishna's headache, and the gopis gladly agreed to give the dust of their feet to cure Krishna's headache, even though they were thinking that they might have to go to hell. Of course, they wouldn't go to hell. But they were thinking that they might go to hell because they simply wanted Krishna to be happy. So they were willing to go to hell to please Krishna. And Jai and Vijay were willing to take birth as demons to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's not that one shouldn't think that these poor guards had to suffer in the material world because Krishna wanted to enjoy rest. And sometimes we look at it from that particular perspective, that they had to suffer, they had to take birth as demons. Oh, you have that same story, the Tulsi Shalabram Vivaha thing. That, oh, these poor devotees. I mean, that's what you get when you go to the spiritual world. You get cursed sometimes. You got to come down and become, you know, Shankar Chuda, you know, all that. Wow. Tulsi, this is nasty business. No, the devotees are happy to be giving Krishna pleasure in that way. Try to understand. We're looking at it from our perspective. We're thinking, you know, I work so hard, going back to the spiritual world, and then I'm going to have to come back as a demon to fight the Lord. You know, what kind of good deal is this? It's a bad deal. But there's love there. You understand? Where there's love, any type of austerity becomes pleasurable. It's a fact. Where there's love, one is immersed in love. And I always give the example of the austerity of the mother taking care of the baby. It's definitely an austerity. Actually, we should get on with the story. So, anyway, so here's what happened. Hiranyakasipu was killed. Hiranyakasipu was really upset that his brother was killed by an incarnation of Vishnu. And he thought, I got to get revenge upon Vishnu. But before he got revenge or attempted to get revenge against Vishnu, he had to deal with his family members. And his family members were lamenting. This shows how he was a Vedic demon. His family members were lamenting because Hiranyaksha had been killed. So he began to preach something similar to Krishna consciousness, which is really interesting. And this story is told in the Bhagavatam that in order to pacify the relatives of Hiranyaksha, he told the story about King Suyajna, because he wanted to prove to his relatives that the soul was different from the body. In other words, he had Vedic knowledge. He's coming up to be Vedic. So he tells the story of King Suyajna, who died, and his wives were lamenting. Suyajna's wives were lamenting, and they couldn't perform the cremation because they kept crying and crying and crying. They wouldn't let go of the body. Sometimes you see that, you know. Actually, in the Ramayana, it's a similar story. Mandodari and was just holding on to the body of Ravana, and Lord Ram said, "Look, to have the proper ceremony, cremation and death ceremony and everything like that." So they were just like holding on to his body. So while that happened, Yamaraj appeared. Such an interesting story from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Yamaraj appeared as a young boy just to preach to the wives because he wanted to take the soul away. And he told the story of this Kulinga bird, which is actually similar to the story told in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Kalingabird, there is a, in a Bible song in the 11th century, it's a Kapota Kapoti, anyway, Kalingabird. So there was a bird hunter, and there was someone who caught birds and ate birds. And what happened is that this bird hunter, tell a long story short, this bird hunter captured the little baby birds. And then the mother bird fell into the net trying to save her young people, her young ones, at least they in the South. And then the male bird, seeing his wife and his kids trapped by the hunter, guess what happened? He fainted, and he fell into the net, and the hunter had a lot to eat that particular day. So, anyway, so in this way, he pacified his relatives. So you see, demons, even in the old days, could preach Krishna consciousness, or at least aspects of Krishna consciousness. So, okay. So then what happened? Oops. Okay, so then what happened is that he started to plan how to become immortal. And in his plan to become immortal, he was performing great austerities. And we know that while he was performing the austerities at Mount Mandala, his body became decayed. He was only living in his bones. And Lord Brahma came. And Lord Brahma, from his kamandalu, that means like a little water pot, poured some water on Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu came forth again, and he knew that Lord Brahma could not give immortality, so he didn't ask for it directly. He asked for immortality in an indirect way, as we know. He asked not to be killed at daytime, or the nighttime, or inside, or outside, by man, or beast, or weapons, or whatever like that. And in this way, he actually predicted his own death. And we've mentioned before, when one asks for a benediction from Lord Brahma, material benediction, the benediction often predicts how one will die. And the example I often give is the example of Sinda and Upasinda, who were two demons who could not get defeated, and they got benediction from Lord Brahma. They were brothers. that the only way they would die is being killed by each other. And so they thought, you know, we'll never kill each other. But then Lord Brahma had a very interesting plan. He called for Vishvakarma. Vishvakarma constructed this beautiful lady named Tilotama. Out of all the beautiful parts of the beautiful bodies in creation, you know, beautiful nose, ears, beautiful eyes. And she circumambulated the demigods and described that she was so beautiful that some of the demigods grew extra heads or eyes just to see her. Then Lord Brahma sent her on her mission, and she went to where Sinda and Upasinda were. They were completely drunk, and they began to fight over her and killed each other. So when Lord Brahma gives a benediction, it actually indicates how someone's going to die. And you find that in the case of Ravana, too. We don't need to tell that story. So then Hiranyakashipu became so powerful that all the demigods began to serve him. It's even described that Narada Muni was serving him, but just as a pastime. Except for Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. And it may appear that he was very powerful, but he was conquered by his senses. Manasashtani Indriyani, Prakriti Shtani Karshati, as described in the Bhagavad Gita. The six senses, which include the mind. So, in his pastimes, he's showing us that even if one is powerful in this material world and has so many benedictions, if he commits offenses against devotees, that he's finished. And there's actually many stories about this in Chaitanya Lila as well as in the Bhagavatam. And Chaitanya Leela, you have the story of Haridas Thakur and Gopal Chakravarti. Gopal Chakravarti, this was at the assembly house of the Majumdars, that Gopal Chakravarti and Haridas Thakur were talking about the holy name, and Haridas Thakur said, even with Namavas chanting, all the karma becomes eradicated, even the Parupta karma. And Gopal Chakravarti got very upset and said, you know, you're not right, I'm going to cut your nose off. And then later on, he got leprosy and his own nose fell off by committing that offense against Haridas Thakur. So there's many stories about how different prominent people became ruined just by committing offenses against Vaishnavas. Another story in this regard is the story of Ramchandra Puri, Anishwara Puri, and Madhavendra Puri. So Ramchandra Puri was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, and he committed offenses against his spiritual master by giving improper advice to the spiritual master when the spiritual master Madhavendra Puri was leaving this planet. Madhavendra Puri was crying out, oh my lord, I have not reached Mathura. And Ramchandra Puri simply said to him that you should be meditating. Oops, oh my god. Not much time. You should be meditating on Brahman. And Madhavendra Puri said to his disciple, I have not reached Mathura. Now this rascal has come to harass me. I don't want to see you again. And he kicked him out. And as a result of that, Ramchandra Puri became the defender of Vaishnavas and fell down from the standard of devotional service. So anyway, so this is another important lesson we can learn from this story. One has to be very careful around devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his Harinama Chintamani that one should not criticize a devotee because of his past sinful activities or past life. One should not criticize a devotee because of accidental deviation from Krishna consciousness, not premeditated. One should not criticize a devotee for present manifestations of his past karma, like if someone has some disease or something like that. So one has to be very, very careful. Madanvi Sarvadhanamate, we're chanting every morning. That means one has to be very cautious. Sarvadhanam, of course, means caution, which they put on the street signs in India, which nobody follows.
Why don't you go? Usually
on a festival,
we would meet the
dailies
later so they could wait
until
you finish the class.
Okay, so tell them to wait. Right. I guess, because I'm going really slow.
No, I mean,
well, I don't think I'm going to finish. I'm going to have to finish tonight, so even in 15 minutes from now. So then, Hiranyakashipu, okay. So, in the meantime, Hiranyakashipu got all the powers, but while he was performing the austerities, his wife, who happened to be pregnant, Kayadu, was not protected. So Indra thought, you know, she's pregnant. I'm not going to kill a woman, because even the demigods, they wouldn't kill women. But she's pregnant, and she's going to give birth to a horrible demon. You know, usually demons have demon kids, and usually devotees have devotee kids. But sometimes devotees have demon kids. Like Krishna and Bhumi, they gave birth to Boma, who had bad association, became Bhomasura. So usually, sometimes, the opposite happens. So you have to see someone by the quality. And sometimes, demons give birth to devotees, too. Which, you know, you see, like, in the case of Vibhishan. He was a devotee. Of course, his father was also a devotee, but that's a different story. So anyway, so they were very worried about this lady who was pregnant. And even in those days, they wouldn't do an abortion. They would wait until the child was born. Oh my God. And so what happened is this lady was being taken by Indra. Narada Muni interceded. And Narada Muni said, look, in her womb is a great pure devotee, and under respecting Narada Muni, let Narada Muni take Kayadu to his ashram, which is situated right near Kusuma Sarovara in Govardhan area. And it's called the Narada Kund area. We showed that on Sunday. And so he preached to her. So, Gopal, put yourself on mute, please. He preached to her, and she heard of Krishna Katha, and Prahlad Maharaj heard the Krishna Katha within the womb. Of course, Prabhupada describes it later on. I guess because she was in so much anxiety about the whole situation, she didn't really hear, and she forgot what she had heard. And Prahlad Maharaj learned or remembered what he had heard while he was in the womb, which is really another important lesson, that when a lady is pregnant, she should only be exposed to Krishna Katha. In other words, at that particular point, please don't watch CNN. You know CNN? Don't listen to the President of the United States talking on a video when you're pregnant. You know, just hear Krishna Katha. You know, fast from the news for 9 months. How about that? So, because the child is absorbing all these things, and prasanam, only eat pure food, prasanam. So in that way, you're more or less guaranteeing the child will be a great devotee of Krishna. So anyway, so later on, she didn't actually give birth in Narada Muni's ashram. Somehow or other, because she was a powerful living entity, as the Rani Kashyapu was. Later on, when she went back to join the Rani Kashyapu, when he was finished with his austerities, after he'd gotten the benedictions, she gave birth. And Prahlad Maharaj was one of four sons. I don't remember all the names, Samlad, like that, Prahlad. Anyway, they all had Lad names. Four sons. And Prahlad was the best of all the sons of Aranyakashipu. Obviously, he was a devotee. And from his early childhood, he was completely disinterested in anything material, any of his father's opulences or anything like that. And so eventually, as we know, he was sent to the school of Shukracharya, which was headed up by Shukracharya's sons, Sanda and Amarga. And they were trying to teach him politics. Politics means how to deal with your enemies or how to get people on your side. In other words, it's mine, you know, so much is mine, and I want more, and I want to get people to back me up, I am mine. The whole concept of false ego in a political sphere. So we know what politics is. So the lesson they were teaching was quite interesting, how to deal with enemies. And they gave her a variety of means that one should utilize in dealing with enemies. One is, if you have an enemy, you speak sweetly to them first. So you should all learn this, whether you're running a temple or something like that, in charge of a temple, or in charge of the kitchen, or in charge of a, or married. So you should, first you have sweet words. Oh, you're so nice. And then after that, if that doesn't work, you give them a position. High position or some position. I remember in South America, we had to do that because everyone wanted to have a position. So someone was being in charge of the book room. Someone was in charge of the president of the treasury or something like that. Then after that, if that doesn't work, use divide and conquer. You turn your two enemies against each other by verbal means or some other means like that. Then after that, there's threats. And after that, finally, argumentation. Like Vakulam. And Prahlad Maharaj didn't accept that because he's a Vaishnava. The Vaishnava is a Jata Shatra Shanta Sadhavatsa Bhushana. One of the ornaments of the Vaishnava is he doesn't consider anyone to be his enemy. He loves everyone. Also, when the Upanishads it is mentioned, Yastu Sarvani Bhutani Atmane Vanupachati Sarva Bhutesh Chatmanam Tolamitaki Gupshate. That basically, one who sees Krishna in everything and everywhere in everyone's heart doesn't hate anyone or anything. So eventually, it came time for a school break. And then his father asked him, that is, when I got your grasp of my heart, what's the best thing you learned in school? And basically, he didn't tell him so much about, you know, Krishna consciousness at that time. He just told his father, you know, that you're actually, here's the quote, old king of the demons, as far as I've learned from the spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen into a dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest, Vana. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan. Imagine Aranyakashipu in Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent. Actually, you know, this is Prabhupada's like purported translation of that verse, even though it doesn't say it in the Sanskrit about going to Vrindavan. And one should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So basically, he was telling them, you know, take sannyas, leave home, go to the forest. And his father just got really angry at this time. He chastised the teachers, Senator Marka, and he said, find out who's been sneaking into the school and telling them this nonsense. So he goes back to the school, comes back another time, and again his father asks the question, and at this point he answers by saying, the best thing is Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, hearing, remembering, etc. And he says, he gives this famous verse, Nanda Gopir Vishnam, Kamishram, Punat Punas Charvatam. Dad, you're just chewing the chewed. You're trying to enjoy something that's not enjoyable. You know, so give it all up. So at that point, his father said, you know, that's it. We're going to try to kill him. So he tried to chop him in pieces. These are all the different attempts the father made. Try to feed him to rakshasas, put him under the feet of elephants, try to put him with snakes, had spells by witches cast against him, threw him off a hill, had his mother give him poison, which Prahlad Maharaj actually offered the food to Krishna, subjected him to wind, fire, tried to crush him, tried to starve him, tried to freeze him, tried to throw stones at him, all these different things, and nothing happened. And then finally he thought, I'm going to burn him to death. And he called for his sister. His sister was named Holika. Some of you may have heard this story before. And his sister had a benediction from Agni that she would never get burned by fire. Okay. So he said to his sister, take this little boy, my son, and sit on top of a pyre. A pyre means like all this wood and everything like that. And we're going to light it. Just make sure he doesn't move. And so she sat on top of the pyre with Prahlad Maharaj. And they lit the fire. And Prahlad Maharaj was chanting the names of the Lord the whole time. And guess what? She got cremated. So this is a famous story. Holika. And sometimes they say that celebrating Holi is actually celebrating the death of Holika, Aranyakashipu's sister. So his father was frustrated. You can't kill this guy. Let's try again. Send him back to school. So at that point, Prahlad Maharaj, being very emboldened, tried to teach, he was successful in teaching his schoolmates about Krishna consciousness. And his schoolmates, a famous part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, his schoolmates were objecting. This is, of course, when the teacher left the classroom. Sananda Marka left the classroom. And his schoolmates said, hey, we're kids. You know, we got to play video games and everything like that. Sometimes now you got adults who play video games. Unbelievable. So we got to play, you know, later on in life. And then Prahlad Maharaj, very interestingly, gave an explanation of how or why they should take up Krishna consciousness from the very birth. Kumara Achuret Pragya Dharmam Bhagavatam Viha Dulavam Manasa Janma Padavtruva Markadam. He said one should take up Krishna consciousness from the very birth. In fact, when one is a little baby, Kumara Achuret. Achuret means must. It's an imperative in Sanskrit. And then Prahlad Maharishi described that now you're thinking you're little kids. You're giving an excuse. Later on, you're going to say, you know, we're a little older, we have another excuse. Later on, you're going to say, teenagers. Later on, you're going to say, we got married, we got to make a living. Later on, you're going to say, we're retired. Another excuse. And then Prahlad Maharaj said also, 50% of your life is already wasted because you're going to be sleeping half of the time. So you got 50% wasted then a certain percentage wasted when you're a kid, certain percentage wasted when you get older, certain percentage wasted when you get married, certain percentage wasted when you're retired. And this way, it actually turned out to more than 100%. Then your whole life would be wasted. So he taught his schoolmates not to be interested in Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, which is what the teachers were trying to teach. So, and they asked Prahlad, what did you learn? Finally, they became interested. And he told them that it was all due to the mercy of Narada Muni and the association with Narada Muni. And he stressed how important association is. It's reflected in one's behavior and one's heart. And the children started to chant. Famous scene, they were all chanting, you know, Kirtan, Hare Krishna, of course, or Om Namo Narayana. Anyway, they were chanting the Lord's name. And the teachers caught him in this behavior, took him back to his father. Okay, we're ending the story right now. And his father asked him, where do you get your power? And of course, he answered, in the same place you do, Dad. And he tells his father, you should be equal. Your real enemies are your six senses. I'm not your enemy, Dad. It's your senses that are your enemies. You know, that further inflames his father. His whole father's existence was based upon satisfying the senses. He says, where is your God? And finally, he says, is he in this pillar? And Prahlad Maharaj actually saw literally peeping out of the pillar.
I heard he winked at him.
What?
The Srinidev winked at him. That's what
he winked at him. Like that. Get ready. And the Srinidev came out, and, you know, because he went to attack the pillar, Pranikashipu went to attack the pillar, and the Srinidev actually played with him, just like a cat. We mentioned this the other day when we were talking about how the Lord plays with demons. Yeah, just like a cat plays with a little mouse or a bird, he just lets him go, pulls him back, lets him go, pulls him back, and has a good time playing like that. And eventually, they went to the doorway, which is neither the inside or the outside, and killed him not with weapons, but with his nails, and he took out his intestines. It's described that he took out his intestines and his heart. Oh my God. And then Hiranyakashipu's followers got really upset, and he killed them all, thousands and thousands of them. And finally, he sits on the throne, and that is Lord Narsingadev, sits on the throne, half man, half lion, incarnation of the Lord. He's not a man or beast. He sits on the throne of Hiranyakashipu. And it's described by the Acharyas that Hiranyakashipu's endeavors to make such an opulent throne were actually taken as service by the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he appreciated what a nice throne he's made for him. So you see that Krishna is like a swan, you know, he takes nectar even out of a filthy place. So even if we have some like material desires as we're serving Krishna, Krishna accepts the bhakti, just like in the case of Putana. Krishna accepted the bhakti and accepted her. And described the demigods. Okay, we're almost finished. Demigods were afraid, and Lakshmi was afraid, didn't recognize her husband at that particular point, and she sent Prahlad Maharaj forward. Prahlad Maharaj sat on the lap of Lord Narsingadev, and Narsingadev just became pacified instantaneously and started licking Prahlad Maharaj, just like a cat licks. A cat licks someone he loves. It's a half man, half lion with a lion. I guess a lion may lick the lion tamer or something. So, and then there's this whole interaction between Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrsimhadev. Prahlad Maharaj says, I'm not afraid of the Lord of you, Lord Nrsimhadev, but I'm afraid of Maya. And I want to express my gratitude to my spiritual master. Actually, one of the first things he says is he remembers his spiritual master. He doesn't think, oh, now I've got directly God here. He says, by my spiritual master's mercy, I just want to serve my spiritual master eternally. So he doesn't say, it's not like Prabhupada. There's an interesting story with Prabhupada and Bhavananda one time. Bhavananda helped Prabhupada down some stairs, and Prabhupada after that, he just, he pushed Bhavananda away. Bhavananda was thinking, what's Prabhupada doing? And Prabhupada was showing by example what the Mayavadis do with their gurus. You understand? He says, push the guru away. But the guru's relationship with the disciple is eternal. Mama Janmani, Janmani Shrey, Bhavata Bhakti, life after life. Not only relationship to Krishna, but relationship to the spiritual master. He's a general, right? So, now we have bands. Okay. On that happy note, actually, there's a lot more. We will end. I'll be there in 1 second.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Govinda Hari Purusha Mahamajami Govinda
Hari
Purusha. That's a song book.
Thank you. Thank you.
ISKCON, Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Anandakoti Vaishnavrinanda Kijai, Srimati Lassi Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai, Gaur, Premananda, Hari Hari Gaur. Okay. Read the translation. The night has come to an end, and the light of dawn is entering. O Jiva soul, arise and give up your sleep. Chant the holy names of Lord Hari.
Beloved son of God, beautifully dark complexion, slayer of his witness, destroyer of the demon, and the glorious son of Dasha, darling of your shoulder, giver of pleasure, cloud, land, and spirit of sending, tower of death, Lord of God, the golden beloved, the mother of God, and the most beautiful of all the gifts. God of the divine of the mind, butter the bottle of the Obi Harris colors, young curtain and bronze, protector of the land, and Luke Carey, worthy by the best of the Yogi, none of this glory, we move our all tears of the cross, color like the red and enchanting and warm, and charming while the morning. Your shoulders joy, thanks for our needs and joy of our lives and the forest glory and the special and reverence of the earth and God. We reach in the glory, reservoir of all that, expanding the human community, our arrows, increase the love and desire of the world, the pleasure of the hearts of all. The light of the moon, and all the stars, and the light of the moon, and the light of the moon, and
the light of the moon, and the light of the moon, and the light. Today is Lord Nrsingadev's appearance day, so
we have the program today at 4:25 this evening, and continuing with about 6:00, 4:45, I usually give a little presentation, and at 5:00, we will talk, by 5:30, we'll dance, well, we're going to have a dance, but whether the dance is first, or the little full presentation first, I'm not sure what happens. And then after that, there will be a fireside presentation.
And then a virtual piece.
And a virtual piece. We'll take a picture of all the persona. So you can see it and enjoy it. Okay. This is Josh.
Jetodar Pranamarjanam Adamaha Yodavni Nirvanam Triyagaratam Nirvanam Arjuna, Arjuna,